Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. He's Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do, Daniel. How's your week been? How you been doing?
It's been great. It's been a lovely week. Even lovelier now that you're here.
Yeah, even though your electricity's a little messed up.
Yeah, man. Half my lights aren't working. I've been reading in the dark.
Yeah, that's got to be bad for your eyes.
It's terrible. My favorite reading spot like doesn't work because like
there's no lights there.
There's this great lamp that's like right in the corner of the sectional couch.
Yeah,
it's the best.
That's the reading spot.
It's the bussin' reading spot, dude. It shit hits the spot.
We've both been having house issues because my garage broke on me.
Oh no!
And like the spring broke on like the garage.
There's springs on it.
There's springs on it. I guess there's okay. One big spring and it twists. I don't know how it works, but.
Okay.
I like closed the garage one day and it made like a huge like slam, like more than it normally does. And I was like, that was weird. And then I tried
wrong.
Me and Sophia were trying to go somewhere and it wouldn't like go up. And I was like, shit. And then I looked at the spring and it was like split in like a quarter of the way through the spring. And I was like, well, that's probably the issue. So damn. I like asked my complex to come fix it. And there's like a guy who got there and it was his first day, I guess. And he like looked at it and he was like, yeah, it looks pretty broken. And then he like tried to mess with like the sensors on the garage. And I'm like, dude, the spring is like split in half.
This is the thing, obviously, that's broken.
Yeah, I know. This is obviously what's fucked up here.
Do you have this part or not?
And then he was like, yeah, it's my first day and I don't really work with garages. And I'm like, why'd they send you? What's going on?
He's probably just can patch drywall and fix a door.
Yeah. And then he like, they got the like garage people to go and it was like this dude and he's like, I've come to fix your garage. And he was like a hardworking like Mexican dude, right?
Nice.
And I'm like, yes.
Was his name like Carlos?
I don't know. Probably.
Was he 5'2"?
He was pretty short actually. But he walks in my garage for like 5 seconds. He's like, I go to get my tools. And then he like leaves and then he comes with like another dude and like a ladder and like this huge ass spring.
His name is Tools.
Yeah. I go to get my tools. And then they fix it and it works even better than before.
Oh, nice.
But I was stuck in
the garage. Can't trust the new people. Got just the Mexicans.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Well, the new guy was a Mexican dude, too. He just wasn't as cultured of a garage fixer.
Ah, he's a new Mexican.
Yeah. New Mexican.
He's new Mexican.
He's new to the club.
He's from Albuquerque.
Yeah. Yeah. We're cultured Mexicans, even though I couldn't fix my garage.
I fixed a trash can, one of those ones that like you step on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The lid came off and you have to like fix it with the step thingy.
You have to like rehook it on?
Yeah. Had to rehook that bad boy.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Took like a minute.
You're so skilled.
Oh, I also.
What a handyman.
I learned how to turn on like a weed whacker because I was doing some yard work. Like
oh,
a
wow.
Man.
Some yard work.
Yeah, dude. I had to like pull that shit like it's a, like a lawnmower.
That's awesome.
It took a lot of strength.
Nice.
And then once it got going, I felt powerful.
You got to rip that baby
yeah,
to get
man.
It going. What a manly way to start a machine.
Yeah, just like
with pure human force. That's ideal. Well, anyway, welcome everybody to the Trade Raiders podcast. We got a good old episode here for you reading Pulp this week. Obviously, you know that from the episode, but if you want to skip right to that, there are time codes in the description, the first of which being the news, which we'll get into. So this week in news.
Dude, another heavy week of news.
Dude, it's actually pretty crazy. Let's start with the most exciting.
We might have different opinions on what's most exciting.
Danny DeVito is writing a Penguin story.
Awesome.
Did you not see that?
No, that's so good though.
It's going to be Danny DeVito and Dan Mora. The guy that did Klaus. Remember that guy?
Oh, okay.
And he's like incredible. He's been doing Detective Comics lately.
Wait, is he the artist?
Dan Mora?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not perfect. Danny DeVito. He does not draw.
No, I know.
But yeah, it looks really good. Like Frank Quitely did a cover of like the Penguin. It looks very upsetting.
It probably looks like, you know, Danny DeVito's Penguin.
It does.
I've never seen Batman Returns, so I need to like watch that.
Oh, he's very upsetting. He's just a small, plump man.
I saw a clip of him eating like a fish and actually...
Yeah.
When he's like coming down some stairs and he actually ate a fish in that scene.
Dude's fucking wild.
Gross. He's like a goldfish.
Well, he's coming back for a Penguin story for Batman Villains 80th anniversary.
Do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger will write a Mr. Freeze comic?
Dude, that'd be sick too.
Uma Thurman does like fucking
Jim Carrey does the Riddler.
He might write something really fucked up.
Like, yeah, that guy, there's something wrong in that guy's
he's
head,
so depressed
sure.
now. Like he writes something really good probably.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's depressed now. He was just in Sonic, but...
Maybe, what's that one dude, Tommy, who plays Two-Face? Tommy Lee Jones? Yeah, he writes a Two-Face one.
Yeah.
I'd buy all of these.
I would. Yeah, they should do it.
Anyway, that's very exciting. I agree that is the most exciting news.
Even more of a reason to love Danny DeVito unconditionally.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to tell everyone I know, like, hey, you know Danny DeVito? He writes comics.
He writes comics. He's part of the many celebrities that write comics now. It's a thing.
I love that this happens.
Yeah.
We got a trailer for Star Wars Visions, Nathan.
I did see that. Looks pretty good. Looks all the ones great. That look like anime look pretty good.
Is there ones that didn't look like anime?
There's one that looked more like 3D-ish animation. And okay. That one didn't look as intriguing to me as the anime-looking ones, but it looks like very authentic-looking anime, which I was kind of surprised by. I thought it was going to be like a weird like Batman Ninja kind of thing where it was like Americanized. Like
some Americanized, yeah.
Yeah, but it looks pretty awesome, honestly.
I kept seeing some old guy in there, and I think I'm most excited for that one because I don't know what his deal is.
I love an old guy in Star Wars.
There's some old guy who just looks like senile, and he's in it, and I saw him like 3 times in that trailer.
Great.
So I'm like, I can't wait for him.
That's awesome. Daniel, have you heard of Brian Michael Bendis?
I have. It was his birthday like yesterday.
Happy birthday, Brian Michael Bendis. Please come on the show.
Happy birthday.
Well, he is moving his imprint at DC Jinx World over to Dark Horse. That's going to include titles like Powers is going to be moving over there to Dark Horse.
Did that ever come out?
It's going to be reprinted, but under Dark Horse, as well as titles like Cover, which he did, Jinx or the United States of Murder Incorporated.
Yeah.
And Scarlet.
Is he just like jumping ship from DC?
I don't know, because he's only on like Justice League, I think. And like maybe doing some Naomi stuff.
Yeah.
But it seems kind of weird that he's moving his whole imprint over to Dark Horse.
Yeah, it must be like he's not like...
Maybe he's not vibing with DC as much as he thought, because he's not on like Superman anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't really know what happened there.
Which is like the big kahuna.
And he was doing like a bunch of stuff with Wonder Comics, which is like a DC imprint, but in DC continuity. I don't know why they...
It was like all the kid stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of. It was like teen comics.
And then
almost.
he had the Legion. Yeah, Legion of Superheroes. I think he might still be doing that. I'm not even sure. But yeah. So all this stuff is moving over to Dark Horse, and it includes a new series coming out called Joy Operations with Stephen Byrne, who did like Wonder Twins, which was like pretty good. It was like a good fun little story. But I really like him. I follow him on Twitter. It's like this guy. I don't know if you've seen him on Twitter.
Yeah, I think I've seen his picture.
Yeah, he's got some pretty cool art, and there was like a little bit of a teaser about what the series is. It's like a sci-fi thing set like 50 years in the future where companies can own entire cities, and there's like all sorts of different laws and stuff that they can control because they own those cities at that point. So,
oh, that's fucked.
It looks like a pretty cool sci-fi Tron-esque future. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited for that coming out of Dark Horse.
For sure.
Daniel, more on Substack. More people are going to be there.
Yeah. Like
Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman.
Did they announce this already? Vanish?
They announced Vanish, but I don't think it was announced what platform it was going to be, or like what publisher it was going to be on.
Okay.
And so they announced it'll be on Substack, but all of the stuff that they're doing on Substack will be in print at some point is what they said.
That's good.
Yeah. Which I think most people are going to be doing eventually, but I think they were the first to be like, that's going to be in print at some point. Because yeah. Donny Cates used to like run a comic shop. So oh, he's cool. Like pretty into that stuff. And Ryan Stegman is pretty old fashioned as well. But
yeah, that seems like ideal. Because like, then what? Like after you read them, like it's just in your email forever or whatever?
Well, there's like process Substack stuff.
Account?
There's process stuff in it. So they're going to be posting like pencils. And then when pencils move to inks and then to colors and then letters and stuff like that. And then they're talking about how they came up with like all the different characters and stuff. That's all going to be on Substack.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like the extra added benefit of seeing how they're creating whatever world it is in Vanish, and it looks pretty good. Like
yeah,
it looks like fun, hardcore, like Todd McFarlane-esque fun, you know?
Okay.
So if people are into that, and I think a lot of them are, then they can sign up.
Yeah, I understand like the purpose of subscribing to Substack, but like it only makes sense for it to be collected in print.
Yeah.
Unless it's collected digitally on Substack too.
But what would that even mean?
Right. Like it's not like you have like a library of this unless they do. I don't know.
Yeah. So I'll probably just end up picking that up in print because it does look very good. But honestly, like if I were to say I wanted to fork up like another $70 for another creator on Substack, it would probably be them because they're also going to be doing a book called Flood where it's going to be Donny Cates and then I guess his wife who does comics. Mm-hmm. And it's a 6-issue underwater horror western, which sounds pretty cool, honestly.
Yeah.
So Pretty cool ideas going on there. But yeah, more and more going to Substack.
Nice, nice. Let's see here. Inferno is to be Hickman's last X-Men book for now.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was kind of expecting that.
Yeah. We got word that Daredevil is to end on issue 36.
It's not going to end. He said that.
He said it ends.
No, he said that there's going to be a break because issue 36 is like a big milestone point for them. But Chip Zdarsky said on his newsletter or on Twitter, I can't remember where I read it, but they're taking a break and it might include a renumbering when he gets back on, but with Marco Cicchetto, the artist still on there, or it might be issue 37. He just says he doesn't know. So it's not ending at 36.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
I must have misread that or read a,
I think
a
people,
faulty well, thing.
A lot of the news articles were saying that it was canceled or stopped because it wasn't in the next month's solicitations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they were just kind of just guessing that it got canceled, but that's not the case apparently.
Okay. That'll give me plenty of time to catch up.
Yeah, exactly. speaking of Chip Zdarsky, he announced a new Image book with Jacob Phillips.
Yeah, dude. And the colorist on this book that we're reading today.
Yeah, Jacob Phillips is on there. So it's going to be called New Burn. Which is...
It's a crime book coming to Image in November.
That's all you really need to know, basically.
It's, lots of double crossing, a lot of crime going on.
Probably a gun.
It's about a private investigator who knows people.
He's probably in his office and it's dark in the room, but light outside. So the blinds cast a shadow on him.
And he probably kills people for breakfast.
And he probably smokes in his room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and then puts a cigarette out on his reports.
Yeah. Cause he's a badass.
Yeah.
I'm super into this. I'm kind of making fun of it, right? Cause it's crime noir comics, but
I love crime shit. This is going to be sick.
Yeah. This is going to be
dope. It looks awesome.
It does. Yeah. Jacob Phillips is a really cool artist just from what I've seen on this.
Yeah,
alone.
Definitely. It's almost like
because I only know
handed down from Sean Phillips. It looks like
I only know him from him coloring Sean Phillips. So
yeah, he does art for a book called That Texas Blood.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which is a Western, I think.
Interesting.
So and then he's done tons. Actually, I think he was on Criminal, but he did some back matter or some kind of ending pages.
Okay.
It was kind of connected to the story. But it was just kind of showing off that he did some stuff.
Interesting. DC Comics is collaborating with the very, very, very popular Webtoon.
Is that popular?
Yes. It's bigger than DC Comics easily.
Is it where people go to get webcomics?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a very big juggernaut. If anything, Webtoon is helping out the little guy, which is DC Comics. And they're going to bring several webcomic series set in the DC universe. And just they said stay tuned for that. But
maybe this is where they get the nominations for best web comic at the Eisners.
It could be, yeah.
Because I had no fucking idea.
Because I think Sophia uses it, actually. Really? She reads comics, but they're endless scroller comics.
I don't know if I can handle that, honestly.
I need pages.
Yeah, because it's a checkpoint. Yeah. And then I know how many pages are left. Not just the scroll bar at the side.
Yeah, it's like running, you know? Because when you're running, you're fixated on the next streetlight. And you're that'll be
a stop sign.
That'll be so great when I get there.
Or a big bush.
Yeah, exactly. And you're if I don't make it to that bush, then I'm stupid or whatever.
Or if you're running laps as opposed to running a marathon.
Exactly.
And you just don't really know when it ends.
Running a mile, four laps is much easier than running a mile normally. Because 100%. It feels so much shorter. Because you do one lap and you're oh, that was so easy. And you keep going.
Three more to go.
Yeah, just three more. But with endless scrolling, it's just I'm just digging a deeper and deeper hole that I don't know when it's going to end, you know?
Yeah, because how do you stop and pick it back up, you
just,
know?
It just goes back to where you were when you last scrolled.
It's
but
amazing.
Also, how do you because sometimes in comics, I'd will go back, or in trades especially, I'll on Comixology, look at the page view and go back a couple dozen pages to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you do that in endless scrollers.
You scroll
up a
little
bit. It'd be harder to flip the pages, essentially.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
But anyway, lot of people like using Webtoon, so I guess it's cool that DC Comics is making moves and collaborating. I think that's something that I've always been pretty good at, to be honest.
Yeah, they've always been pretty open to things like that.
Yeah.
Nathan,
hmm?
We got an Eternals trailer.
The final one.
The final Eternals trailer. Did you watch it?
I did, and it was the first one where I was like, this looks pretty good.
I thought the last one looked pretty good just because it looked different. But this one looks fucking crazy now.
Yeah, they all look good, but this one like definitely caught my attention to be like, okay, cool, I'm excited for this. Because
like, you're like, holy real. Shit, that's Galactus.
There's a, and then you're it's like, not what are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm just kidding.
Dude, so many people are like, Galactus is trending right now.
I know, it's so funny.
People are such normies, Daniel.
Like, yeah, no.
Big thing in space, it must be Galactus, it's a big man.
Dude,
no.
Yeah, it's he They're did it close. First. He did it first.
Because Galactus is like
Celestial?
Celestial. I was going to say Sentinel, but that's not the word.
Yeah, they're like cousins.
Yeah, Celestial. So like they're close, but like the most famous Celestial is the one with six dots on his face.
Which is this one.
Yeah, which is this one.
It looks terrifying.
It does. It looks really cool,
like,
actually.
This whole thing looks terrifying.
Also, and there's like, a dude with like laser eyes, and he lasered like a little dragon dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's the dragon doing there? That's crazy.
What the fuck was his name? Robert Stark.
I have no idea what any of the characters' names are. I don't know anything about the Eternals.
Oh, no one does. Yeah. I saw a tweet. It's like, dude, I've read comics for 30 years, and I couldn't tell you a thing about the Eternals.
Neil Gaiman probably couldn't even tell anybody about the Eternals.
But, yeah, so I like the cast. The cast looks good.
Yeah.
You can see a bit of their powers and shit like that. Yeah, we get to see jacked Kumail Nanjiani. Which is just normal Kumail Nanjiani now.
I know. It's unbelievable.
He really likes deadlifts. But yeah, excited. Looks good.
One of the more exciting things for me that was announced was an Image book called What's the Furthest Place from Here?
Yeah, did you see those posts from Image?
Yes.
I was like, what is this? Tell me now.
And it's by Matthew Rosenberg and Tyler Boss, the team behind Four Kids Walk Into a Bank.
Indeed.
Which is one of my favorite like independent books of all time.
It's like a post-apocalyptic coming-of-age story, which is two of my favorite books.
And they're doing some pretty interesting things with this release. So the first issue launches in November. It's going to be $5, but a triple-sized issue.
Oh, my Lord.
And there's also going to be some options for a deluxe edition, which will be available for $15, and it includes the comic and a vinyl single with new music inspired by the series from Jawbreaker and Jets to Brazil's Blake Schwarzenbacher and Joyce Manor.
Joyce Manor?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So there's like going to be a deluxe edition.
It's got a soundtrack for
each issue as a soundtrack to the book, which is dope.
Jeff Lemire did that with something.
Yeah, with the hockey one. I'm Canadian.
Is it hockey?
It's like a hockey story.
Yeah, I remember when it came out.
But there was like music tied to that one.
Right. There's a playlist or something.
That's cool. That's very cool. That's such a fun idea.
I need to get a record player again.
One of the books that Matthew Rosenberg did, there was basically a Spotify list of like the records that like remind him of like that particular issue, and it was like all the way in the back.
Okay.
And they were like indie, like some grunge bands, some rock bands, whatever, alternative, and it was like pretty cool. I listened to a few of them, so
for sure
I'm excited for this because I love Tyler Boss. I have a commission from him. He did my Iron Fist piece.
Oh yes, we know, Nathan, stop bragging.
Yeah whatever, he's just gonna blow up, and then that'll probably be worth $1 million, and I won't sell it because it's too cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm very excited about that.
In other comic news, in November, we got a new Star Wars book called Crimson Rain coming from Charles Soule. This will be continuing the War of the Bounty Hunters storyline, I guess. And it'll touch on like the Crimson Dawn and Kira from the Solo movie.
So what? Kira is the one that...
Emilia Clarke, the one that fucked over Solo.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so that'd be cool. And then Crimson Dawn is like the gangster club that Darth Maul's a part of or whatever.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah, so pretty exciting.
I did see that as well. Charles Soule seems like he's having a great, good old time writing Star Wars comics.
He's just coasting. He just loves his shit.
Yeah, dude, I've heard him like talk about it too, just like Star Wars in general. And yeah. he's a big old nerd.
He's great at it. It's well deserving.
Yeah, exactly. So good for him.
Nice. Good stuff.
There was a Moon Knight leak. If it's real, it looks cool, and I hope they stick with it. But I also hope that there's a Mr. Knight costume, which is the one in the suit.
Yeah, that one's slick.
So
this one looks like a bit much. I don't know. I just always pictured the Moon Knight costume being like a little bit more simplistic than this.
Yeah, there's a couple like different like raggy layers on there. I just feel like it works because it's hard to make white work, I feel like, in general.
Yeah, I'm not saying like just like...
But it looks good.
White. But yeah, it definitely looks solid. It's just not what I thought it would look like, I guess.
Yeah. And it is a leak, so we don't even know if that's like the final thing, or if that's like after any CGI or whatever they're going to put on.
This could
be
like one of like 20 different designs.
Yeah.
Now that it has been leaked, I feel like they might not even go with it.
Yeah. You know? And that it remains to be seen what kind of version of Moon Knight they're going with, because Moon Knight, every single run is wildly different from the last. So
there's a bit of both, a bit of all of it.
Yeah, maybe. So that'll be pretty cool.
All righty, Nathan. So whatever you read this week.
This week we read Pulp, which is the Eisner Award-winning book by Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, Jacob Phillips, and that's everyone, I think.
That's all of them, probably.
So this is a, it's kind of different from what we normally read, because it's like a graphic novel, but it's supposed to be just that, like a hardback graphic novel. It was about 80 pages, so it's kind of like a, it's kind of like one-shot issue, but kind of more grand than that, and like a little bit more like premium and special. So it's like a lot easier to just read because it's a one-off thing. It doesn't connect to anything else.
Yeah, it's not very long.
I guess like technically most of the ones that they do, and I think including this one, derive from Criminal.
They're all like Criminal based. Like there's not any like one character that's in all of them.
Yeah.
It's all like some sort of crime, you know? And so like under Criminal, like each arc is like different people. It's like different crimes being committed.
Exactly.
Different characters. So yeah, that makes sense. Quick brag real quick.
Okay.
I forgot I had this actually. I have this little like Pulp postcard thing that's signed by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips.
What?
Pretty cool, right? You see that? No, don't touch it. I want to steal it. You just get to look at it.
How did you get that? Was it just in the covers?
I think it just came with it. I'm sure Drew told me about it.
That's pretty cool.
I'm like, sick. It's cool little scribbles right there, huh? Wow,
big flex.
Big flex.
Wow, Dan's I opened flexing it up. On me. That's crazy.
I went to read this and I saw it. I'm like, oh, that's neat.
Well, then you should explain the whole fucking thing then, because you're just such a big, super big Pulp fan, aren't you, Dan?
I'm a big Ed Brubaker fan.
Yeah, me too.
I like fucking forgot how good Ed and Sean Phillips are together. They're so good.
They're like the comics powerhouse team.
Like
for me, especially just like crime stories, especially.
They're so good. It's right up their alley. This is like they get to write whatever they want and they just are good at it, you know?
Yeah, and they've done a really good job with like branding themselves as that, I think, as like this powerhouse team, because like they had like Kill or Be Killed, which was like an ongoing series, but they're doing like a bunch of these, like Pulp or My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies,
or little hardcovers that like are just one-off stories and they're just banking off of it.
I kind of want to collect all of them like in print, because that'd be really cool to have like up on a shelf.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
all of them next to each other.
I think I have like most of them,
because there is My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies, Bad Weekend, which you have in print, don't you?
Probably, yeah.
It's like the one with the old guy and he's smoking on the cover.
So that, yeah, I saw that. I didn't buy the hardcover because those came out in individual issues in
Bad Weekend
in Criminal.
Oh.
Bad Weekend is like an arc of Criminal. So I don't have the hardcover of that.
Really? I think it's different.
I think I looked into it and I'm like, oh, I don't need this.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Interesting then.
But
yeah, they're a really cool team. So I re-listened to a podcast that I remember Ed Brubaker was on, and I remember him talking about Pulp, and I found it, and he gave us some interesting little fun facts about Pulp that I want to start with.
You know how much I love fun facts, Nathan.
Yeah, the funnest of facts. So here's a double fun fact, kind of.
I'm ready to have some fun.
The highest selling graphic novels of last year were Firepower.
Really?
Pulp.
Ooh.
And Reckless.
Oh, no shit.
So Ed Brubaker had two of the three top selling graphic novels of last year. And they were all independent.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
That is nuts. So he's got to figure it out.
He does.
Because he writes this shit. And then
he knows
prints enough of them to where like they're top sellers, and these are great. Like,
yeah, and he knows people will buy them too because they are great. Like, it's a for sure like good purchase.
Yeah, this actually this book in comparison to their other books had like incredible pacing.
Yeah,
compared to like what their other stuff is. Like, it's like a bit longer, a little bit more fleshed out, in just a little bit more dense as far as like the dialogue, but this like I really enjoyed reading and just did it all in one sitting because I just like couldn't.
Yeah, it's like watching a movie. I feel like I think that's where they really nailed this,
like a short like hour and a half movie.
Yeah, well, it took me a little bit longer because I like to look at the pretty pictures,
but colors.
Like I think they really nailed that sort of demographic where it's not like single issues or like ongoing series, but it's also not like one big graphic like graphic novel or trade or omnibus that would take like a couple hours to read to get through, because it's like multiple hundred pages. This is like an 80 page thing that you can just commit to reading it, like sitting down and reading one day, and it doesn't take up like your whole day, or you can like binge through it and it doesn't take up that much time.
You don't have to get caught up on it.
Yeah. And it's really cool. Like, I think it's a very unique style that I think should be adopted more.
If like this was more regular, I could get really into reading like these, like a lot.
Yeah.
Cause like trades, like the reread is, could be like 120 into like 200 pages,
which takes a while, which
can take a second. Yeah.
Yeah. So he said, or Brubaker talked about his first go at this format, which was with Sean Phillips, and it was the My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies. And it was like a big success for them. And it's, the first printing of it sold out over about 9 months, but it was at a quantity that they would normally print like a first issue at.
Mm-hmm.
So like a normal, like Spider-Man number one or whatever, like they print more of the first issue than they do of like the second, third, and so on.
Right.
So they printed a full on graphic novel at the first issue, like level of printing. And so that sold out, which is cool. So when they did Pulp, they did in general, like the same thing with like the same numbers, and it sold out in 6 weeks. So
yeah, it was a bit fast, it felt like.
Yeah. Like, so people bought the first one over 9 months, and then they did the same thing and sold out in 6 weeks. So much, much quicker.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it was a huge success. And there was, he said even one store sold over 200 copies in like a day.
Damn.
Which is insane. Probably that someone would even have 200 copies. Like, it's probably some crazy big bookstore, but still, that's like a lot.
What podcast is this?
It was on Sketched David Harper.
Who's that?
Off panel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a weekly like interview podcast show. He just had like Scotty Young on there and stuff. So,
Oh, nice.
So I mainly just listen to the ones of people that I recognize, which I'm sure is typical, but
right.
It was a really interesting podcast, and Brubaker's a very nice guy.
Nice, nice.
So
Declan Chalvey was just on here.
Mm-hmm. So
nice. Sweet. I love more Pulp podcasts.
The only thing I don't like about Pulp is
nothing.
The title design, like where it actually says Pulp.
You don't like that?
I don't. I like the fonts individually, but they overlaid them on top of each other and then like off-centered them a little bit, and it makes me feel uncomfortable.
No, they centered them, but like I think with the fonts, it makes them look like it is off-centered.
It is off-centered.
You know, I didn't even notice that until you pointed out. What the fuck? I like the bigger font more because it looks more Western. Like, it looked like it'd be in like,
I think that's the point. Like, it's, but there's, it's also a Western feel and a modern feel, which,
because it flips back. This flips back and forward between like the main character's like old life and then his current life. You know? So it's like,
I get the idea.
An old font and new font kind of thing.
But just like center it a little bit more, maybe.
It is centered, Nathan. The U, if you look at the
U is fucked up.
No, it's like the middle of the U in the old font is just slightly off center.
Yeah.
So the new font is actually centered with the old font.
It's just weird to me. And you can't explain it.
But I don't care.
You can't explain it to me.
This book is perfect as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's very good. So anyway, we'll get into it. So
Nathan hates Pulp.
I don't hate Pulp.
Hashtag Nathan hates Pulp.
Nope.
Let's get Ed to see this.
He's not even
on Twitter anymore.
The only Pulp I hate is in Orange Juice, Daniel.
You hate Pulp and orange juice?
Yes.
It's fucking delicious.
I'm not trying to eat my drink.
I get extra Pulp, Nathan. I like to chew on that shit.
Good Lord.
Yeah, man. I like when you get stuck in my teeth.
No.
It tastes all hairy and like tickles your throat.
I need to leave, actually. So, all right. So the book starts with the preface that the story takes place in New York in 1939. But it starts off like right after that with like a Western shoot-off. And the focus is on this character called the Red River Kid, who is like a gunslinger cowboy type character. And he does like cowboy things, like he wins the shoot off and then he rides horses or whatever and eats food off of like a campfire pot, you know, all those sorts of things.
Eat some beans.
Yeah. And it actually turns out that this is part of a comic that's written by the main character of the story, who is Max Winters.
Is it a comic or is it like a magazine?
Because
like it looks like he's just turning in like manuscript,
like script for the comic. Yeah,
yeah.
Because the comic is called Six Gun Western, which is, and you could see it there, like the publisher is holding
and
it up.
It says a brand new book length novel.
Oh, maybe it is. Well, then
I think the panels that we see here aren't the actual panels.
Oh,
I think
okay.
That's just like a flashback to
interesting. Okay,
the life that he's portraying and the life that he did actually have.
Yeah, it is a book, isn't it? Okay, I was under the impression it was a comic because the cover looks like it was a comic. So
yeah,
but that makes sense too. So
all the Western stories are based off of his life, like actual experiences that he had.
So there's like, the publisher is like giving him some notes on like what readers are like really interested in, based off their formula or algorithms that they have set in place. And then there's like some friction there between the two, which falls with Max getting a pay cut because there's some competitive pulp books out there that's creating like tough sales. And right off the bat, like I really think that the novel representation of Red River Kid, like the coloring and the rendering in there, is super interesting.
Yeah, I've never seen it kind of look like that. It looks really cool. It works for the setting.
It's really like bold and like untraditional as colors, like the colors go like outside of like the lines of the environment, but for the Red River Kid, he has like this red shirt on that's very distinct and like a heavy red to like pull your eye to him. But everything else coloring wise is just kind of like a general palette that was like kind of painted over.
It's
really cool.
It almost looks like he took some chalk and then put it on the side sideways and just scraped it over.
Yeah, it does.
But it works really well.
It's super cool. And I just think it just forms like a more general like Western feel, which is... It's awesome. It's really creative, honestly.
Have you ever seen Jacob Phillips' like office?
No.
And he lives in like London, I think. And so he's got like a shipping container they converted into like an office.
Hell yeah.
Where he like colors and draws and shit.
What a guy.
It looks really fucking cool.
That's dope. What a fun fact, Daniel.
Yeah.
Look at you bringing fun facts too.
Yeah. I follow him, you know. Like, I know some people.
And it's funny, like knowing a little bit about Ed Brubaker, that he writes a story about a writer that's having like issues with like their editor and like their publisher.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell that there's like some brutal honesty here about writers. And I wrote in comics, but like in publishing in general and how they're like supposed to stick to a formula that has been working historically.
Yeah.
But eventually that would lead to just stale storytelling after a while.
Right.
So I could tell that that's Ed Brubaker's opinions here. But
anyway,
on Max's way home, we get a sense that Max was some sort of a brawler in the 40 years ago. So like back in the 1800s, basically. And he gets beat up in the subway trying to stop some hecklers. And this beating caused a heart attack. And then during the heart attack, he gets robbed of the money that he just earned for that novel that he wrote for the Red River Kid, which while he's passed out, he gets robbed. And then there's another like comic perspective storytelling that lets the reader know that he bases his Western pulp story off of himself and like his brother about what he used to do as like an outlaw. So that's kind of like that reveal there, is that what he writes is just his experience.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
So this heart attack that he just had, what he describes as the third time he almost died.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes right into the first time that he almost died because some people that were wanting his land or whatever burned down like his house or whatever.
There was a cattle war which caused his house to burn down, and then he got shot in the back, and then Max got shot in the back, but his brother also gets shot and like gunned down, and so that's how he dies. But then after a recovery, him and then his partner in that novel, Spike, go and get revenge.
Right.
So we see a little bit about his life through his storytelling, which is interesting. Like, it's kind of cool to like see learn about a character through the stories that he writes.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool method. And
the something that they kind of left out, probably on purpose, that I'm kind of glad they did. Like, they didn't tell us like everything about this guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's he like talks about how he used to have a wife and a daughter, but doesn't elaborate on like what happened to them. And
yeah.
He just talks about how it's like something that he can't talk to anybody about, really.
Yeah.
And then just kind of like leave it at that. Like, they didn't need to explain it. They just kind of showed that he had this like troubled past, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. It's very mysterious.
Yeah.
Very spooky. Max wakes up in the hospital after his heart attack, and he has to walk home in the snow, which sucks. Like, he doesn't have like a way to get home.
That's hardcore.
It is very hardcore. He's like noticing like his heavy heartbeat after the heart attack, like pounding in his head basically, and noticing like his own vulnerabilities as he's like getting older. So he goes home to Rosa, but only tells her about the mugging and not the heart attack so that she wouldn't worry. So is Rosa like his new wife, or like his
probably
new
like
partner,
a girlfriend
partner
like
girlfriend thing, yeah. But yeah, you're right, there is like a sort of mystery there, because we know that he has a wife and a daughter, but they're clearly not a part of his life,
because the part that the publisher crossed out was him retiring to go to Mexico and starting a farm and stuff like that, where we had a wife and a daughter, because that's where he like settled down.
Yeah.
And so he learned like Spanish there, obviously. And so that's how he like got kindled with Rosa, because she like cleaned like that building or
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So Max immediately goes back to writing, or back to the office to write, because he needs money now. He just got robbed. Mm-hmm. And he's in general like always just scraping by and like just trying to survive. But Max is like afraid of leaving the world with nothing for Rosa. So he's like, he wants to make sure that she's taken care of, basically. And then there's like a little bit of a backstory on how they met, which is she used to be a cleaning lady and all that. But his wife and kids aren't in the picture. But just talking a little bit about Sean Phillips, he's like easily the best on doing like face shading.
Oh yeah, like the way he like applies blacks, I'll like never understand. He like the he shading and
portrays
like the shadows.
Such emotion just through shading on the face, and he like really uses that to his advantage. And just also like it really works to his advantage to show like how old Max is compared to other characters, because like Rosa isn't that like shaded on the front, but also people that are younger than him and stuff, so he just kind of looks more like older and like kind of beaten down,
more seasoned.
Yeah, more seasoned for sure.
Yeah, there's this one book that was black and white, I think, that they did. It was called The Fade Out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge book.
Yeah,
it's super good. And they do tons of that, because it's like a crime thing. Yeah. As well, and it's like based around like a screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a murder involved and stuff like that. So all these like blacks are just applied like super well, and I just always think about that.
Yeah. And I'm also like really interested in the artistic choice behind having full pages that are just one panel that takes up like a quarter of the page, and then like the rest of it is black with like a bunch of captions. So like there's this one, which is like a memory, I guess. So mm-hmm. maybe it looks like a picture of like a memory that you barely like remember, or whatever the case. But
I think it just
it's like a point of when Max meets Rosa, and then there's dialogue explaining what happened. But I think I like to think of it as like taking a snapshot, or like it's like a picture, like a memory in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't remember all of the details like in full story. Like whenever TV goes in like the flashback and like shows the scene there, like you don't remember it that vividly. You just kind of remember like bits and pieces.
Right.
Which I think this is what it's going for.
He's looking at a picture. And so that's like where it comes to this. And then he just explains everything around that.
Right.
Which is kind of like what a picture does.
You know what? That might be right, because there's a couple other pages like that, and I think they are pictures. So right. That's kind of interesting. But I really like that sort of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet it was easy for Sean Phillips as well.
Yeah, just a full page of black.
Yep.
So they go to the movies.
Well, back at the office, he finds out that his editor has replaced Max as a writer of the Red River Kid with like a 17-year-old new hire who's writing inventory stories of Max's original creation. And the publisher says that he has the rights to the character because that he's the one that's publishing it. And so... like, he got booted out of his own character for a 17-year-old kid that has a lower page rate, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Or word rate, whatever it is.
Yeah, they paid, like, a penny per word.
Yeah, which seems like it would be all right, I guess. I don't know.
I
don't know what typical page rates are, but Max's was higher, and then he got booted off of his own character.
I've definitely written, like, 200-page, like, essays that felt really long.
Yeah.
And if I just got $2 for doing that, I'd be pissed.
That's true. So after he finds out about that, Max's heart starts acting up again. But obviously there's a nod here to publishers owning rights of a character and mm-hmm. fucking over like the creators and like that sort of toxic work for hire model.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kind of weird reading this now, knowing like the Ed Brubaker and Winter Soldier stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's interesting seeing like that perspective of it. Cause that's probably similar to how things happen.
Yeah.
To him.
Yeah. Just like kind of, simplifying it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like. It almost feels kind of touchy, but it's also like kind of funny that he just got threw it in there.
Yeah, I mean, he should be able to. It's his own work. Like, he can...
Yeah.
I mean, he's writing what he's knowing, so...
Right.
But yeah, back at home, Max takes Rosa to the movies, and because it's in the middle of, like, World War II times, there's, like, some men who cheer for Hitler in, like, the theater preview propaganda thing,
mm-hmm.
which is very strange. Like, I never thought of that, like, in that time.
There'd be, like,
some
Nazis
people that are Nazis.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
I didn't realize that either.
So, like, after Max is having some more heart problems, he goes to the bathroom, and this is where he gets the idea to pull a heist, like he used to back in the day as the Red River Kid.
Yeah, he used to rob like stagecoaches and like rich people.
Yeah,
on trains and stuff.
just to get money. And he's scraping by right now and he wants to take care of Rosa. So he wants to get that money to take care of her. But when he goes to actually like execute, he plans everything and goes to actually execute a plan on an armored truck car that's going to a bank that's got money in there. He just plans on like sticking it up and taking the money. But when he goes to execute on this plan, a random man named Jeremiah stops him right before Max commits to it and takes him to the bar. And so Jeremiah knows Max back in the day as the Red Rock Kid in like reality and took notice of the reality in his books. And Jeremiah like recognized Max that way because he didn't try very hard. You know,
yeah, like the stories are the same. The name is just different. And so he just was able to connect the dots.
Yeah. Jeremiah like saw the facts in those stories and was like, Red River Kid. Max was the Red Rock Kid. So there's probably something there. Like he didn't try very hard. But Jeremiah actually needs Max for his own heist that he's actually planning. But yeah, I just kind of like that reveal that he'd very, very heavily based off his stories, based off his own thing, so much so that someone else could recognize the facts in those stories and like put two and two together.
Yeah, because like reading is probably just a lot bigger back then, you know, before like TVs and shit. So things got around like a bit more.
Yeah. So this heist is going to be against those who deserve it, which is like the thing for this. Like instead of just sticking up some random bank armored car, people are going to get robbed who deserve it, which is going to be against the Nazis.
I guess they're having some sort of march, like in New York City.
Yeah.
And he's saying that there's Nazi supporters that are shipping money to like Hitler or whatever to fund his shit.
Yeah. There's like crates of money that are funded by the Nazis in America that's going to on like German boats to Germany. So Jeremiah wants to intercept that money in the process. So Max decides to do it because he wants to help Rosa, and they start planning and sort of getting to know each other a little bit more before the heist starts. And so something that I noticed while taking notes is in the beginning, the editor like crosses out the part where the Red River Kid and his other like partner retire in Mexico, which you mentioned. But then the day before the actual heist, Max wishes that he could go visit his brother, like his grave one more time. But he says that he wouldn't have time to go all the way to Mexico. So like his brother died in Mexico, which is why he had the characters in his story go off and like retire in Mexico.
Yeah, because he actually retired in Mexico, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's like, I don't think it was known that like his brother's like grave was in Mexico. So it's kind of cool that that's how he kind of told us like about Mexico, you know?
Oh, okay. Is his brother I thought it was like more of like a partner that helped him with these things. Because his brother got shot in
but his grave is in Mexico.
Well, he was shot in like Wyoming.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Damn.
But the grave is like there in Mexico, which I think it's kind of nice that the place that the Red River Kid retired is like in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, but yeah, he does have a partner that's just like a friend of his basically.
Right.
And then his brother was there before he got shot. But Max walks up to, so that they plan this heist, they're all good to go. And then the heist starts and Max walks up to the entrance of this like Nazi building with his gun to stick up the guard, who just immediately tries to shoot back at Max before the guard gets shot by Jeremiah. And then they move into the building and Max notices that Jeremiah isn't sticking to the plan like at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nazis that are there don't know anything about any money in crates. And so Jeremiah has been lying to Max this whole time about what this heist is. So immediately Max is like, I can't believe I fell for this shit. Like, I almost want to laugh because of like how crazy it is. And then his heart starts acting up again, like mid heist.
Yeah. And Jeremiah, like, he asks, like, where are the ledgers? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he's like, where the fuck are they? You want to die?
He's got an agenda of his own. Like, he goes into a safe and starts picking some shit up before like a shootout starts happening. So they all, Jeremiah and Max run to a car where there's like a sweet driving, like, shoot off action scene. And Jeremiah takes them out before Max passes out from his heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the coloring in this heist scene is like super cool because it's like a very like heavy orange, like dark orange color. And then
it's blood orange, Nathan.
Blood orange, yeah.
Yeah, because lots of blood being shed.
And of course, whenever someone gets shot, the panel's red. But something I always love about Sean Phillips is a good old gun blast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, whenever someone shoots a gun, it's just, like, a big, like, explosion coming out of like the barrel.
Yeah.
But it's like very exaggerated in like a way.
I didn't mention it, but I love the snow panels, like the one where he's about to rob the bank guy.
Oh yeah.
But he doesn't, and there's just like snow everywhere. It just looks so, like, so cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back to it, but
yeah, the way that he does snow works really well, I think.
I don't know if it's like something that Sean does, or like
whoever does it, it's pretty cool.
Or something that like Jacob does.
Yeah.
It just looks like super cool.
I love a good snow noir story.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, so that heist happens. I guess it was somewhat successful, at least for Jeremiah. But Max wakes up in a hospital and Jeremiah is there next to him. And so it turns out that the crates that didn't have the money, they did have records of donations from Americans that are secretly Nazis. But they want to keep that secret of them being Nazis. So Jeremiah like uses that
them.
To like as like blackmail to and like as a way to get money or like expose them.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeremiah gives Max a deed to a property in the Queens, which is a place that Rosa always wanted to live at.
Yeah, to like retire or whatever.
Yeah, and an 8K bank account. So he's got $8,000. He's a new man, Daniel.
Yeah, back in the day, it's a lot of cheese.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot of cheese now, Nathan.
So Max is like super surprised and he's not even like listening to the doctor like tell him about his heart condition because he's just like validating everything and can't believe what he's seeing. So after he leaves the hospital, he puts all the property stuff and the bank accounts into Rosa's name so that they can start having that house and that life together that he always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But later, he sees on a newspaper that there's an article about Nazi-linked bankers resigning, which is likely from Jeremiah.
In disgrace.
Yep. Which is likely from Jeremiah. So Max goes to congratulate and also thank Jeremiah with a drink. So he goes to his house. But as soon as he shows up, he sees Jeremiah's dead body getting wheeled out by paramedics from the complex building
mm-hmm.
that he's at. So he pieces together that one of the Nazis living in that building was the one that found out and was a part of that murder. So
that's where like Jeremiah got all his intel on
yeah,
the job.
Which is the Nazi in his complex building. And then the Nazis must have found out and got to him. So Max goes to a Nazi bar to find the man that killed Jeremiah, and he guns him down before, like, there's a big action scene and he himself gets gunned down. But the whole time he's kind of reflecting on this is how, like, he used to settle things when he was, like, an outlaw as, like, the Red Rock kid. And, mm-hmm. like, this whole world is, like, built for monsters, which is why monsters are the ones that, like, survive the longest and stuff like that. So it was, like, a really cool ending and, like, view on, like, himself because he was going out for someone knowing that Rosa is going to be okay. You know, he's avenging like his friend basically,
right?
So
but
that's basically how it ends.
Max fucking blows his head off,
dude. That is like, I was gonna say, that's like the coolest panel.
Oh yeah, like his like body is still standing but his head's fucking gone.
He takes out like a shot, like a sawed off shotgun type thing.
Yeah,
and just point blank, and
then he just starts shooting other Nazis in the bar, and then he ends up getting shot in the chest.
Yeah, the action scene in the present is like reminiscent of like what was going on with like the Red River kid in like his stories. So there was like a bunch of alternating panels of like Max and then the Red River kid. So just showing that like he was always gonna kind of be this man basically.
Yeah, cool thing that he was saying in like kind of the narration was that he used to tell like all these stories to like his daughter before mm-hmm. and he kind of painted himself as like a hero. But he meant like that he was just like a killer, like a straight up killer.
Yeah, basically.
And the way he writes the stories is like the same way he used to tell them like to his daughter.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like a neat little thing.
It is very nice. And it's also funny because it's like the last page is just a big splash of him bleeding out on like the bar floor. And it looks really cool, but the only captions say, anyway, that's how it all happened. And he's just dead. And then that's the last page of like this whole thing.
Oh, man. I had a feeling that either it would end like this or it'd end up like happy, like him in his little house or whatever.
Nope. But, I mean, it kind of ended happy. Like Rosa is going to be okay. She's probably going to be sad.
He ultimately got what he wanted.
Yeah.
But just like the way it ended, and it ended like it, with him like,
with a little
serving
bit of
justice.
Yeah, some redemption or avenging, if
and
you will.
Jeremiah like helped him out, but then he got killed and that sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no.
So yeah, very, very good.
Yeah.
I love that format, and I really like just the idea of a writer that actually lived the life of an outlaw publishing things as a character that's like a reflection of him.
Yeah, very super cool idea.
It's awesome.
I think it definitely deserved that Eisner.
What did it win for? Best like graphic novel or whatever?
Yeah, best like graphic novel, meaning like short story kind of thing.
Yeah. So good stuff.
Good stuff.
So let's go into Matter.
What would you rate this, Nathan?
Oh yeah, let's rate it. Gotta have it.
All the toppings.
Yeah. And like I think
three scoops of a bunch of stuff.
I think on top of it just being like non superhero, like independent and like just kind of easy to read, it would be something that you can recommend to somebody pretty easily, I think.
Oh yeah,
like this isn't a big commitment, just take it, read it, enjoy it, and then just like let me know what you think. Ed Brubaker says that these things that he does with Sean Phillips are kind of like dad comics, which I thought was kind of funny.
That's definitely a good representation,
because like, it's like little like teenagers or like kids or whatever aren't gonna want to read a story about like a old man. I don't know, like I get what he means by that, but I don't know if that does it justice, because it's still a really great book that I enjoy. But if there was a dad that reads comics, he would enjoy this.
Yeah, like there wasn't like a ton of action, and I feel like dads normally like westerns and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so I think that's a really good representation of it.
It's pretty
maybe
funny.
I'm a dad already, I don't know, because I love this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, Back Matter Matters, Nathan.
Back Matter Matters.
Back matters.
There's nothing.
There's one thing.
What is that?
It's like a list of all the things that Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips have done together.
Oh, I didn't have that in my digital version.
Oh wow. Must suck to suck, Nathan.
What are the things in there that we haven't said already?
A bunch of criminal. Hey, have you ever read Fatale?
No.
Or Fatale?
I mean, I think I've started it. Is that the one that's in Hollywood?
No, that's the Fade Out.
Oh, the Fade Out. Okay, that's
Fatale.
The one
is like I read the first trade and I don't think I like understood it.
Yeah.
It's like about some like lady who's like a demon or something. I can't remember.
Cool.
We got Kill or Be Killed, like we said, Bad Weekend, My Hero's Always Been Junkies, and Cruel Summer.
The Reckless probably on there too. Wait, Cruel Summer, what is that?
Cruel?
Oh, Cruel Summer.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that is. That's cool.
No, Reckless isn't on here.
All right.
So
maybe that's something that came after, I can't remember.
Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, let's go just straight into the pull list, : shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box? We had Free Comic Book Day this past weekend, Nathan.
We sure did have Free Comic Book Day, the most wonderful day of the year.
Let me grab the shit I got. All right, Nathan, so I got King Shark.
I did too.
I read that too, and then I got The Boys, Herogasm.
I got that one too.
I got Star Wars, The High Republic.
Nice.
I don't know where this fits, but I got Enter the House of Slaughter.
Oh, I didn't see that one on there.
Dude, that's there the was James so one. Many free comic books.
There was like a crazy amount.
It felt like there was like 30. Like yeah. He had them over to the left on top of like discounted books and shit. And I'm like, oh, there's like 9. That's like normal, right? And I grab like 5 that I want, and then I turn, and by the new releases, there's like 10 more. And I'm like, holy shit.
Like a million more. It's crazy.
So I got this, and this is like from the world of Something is Killing the Children.
Yep.
So I'll probably wait until I read that in order to read this.
You could probably read it. I'm not sure what that's about.
I think this might be like a new series, like a spinoff series. And this might be like the first issue of that.
Yeah.
And then I got something called Red Room by Ed Piskor.
Oh, cool.
Do you know Ed Piskor?
Yeah, he did the X-Men Grand Design.
Yeah, I recognize his name. I'm like, this looks weird. Like there's a bunch of like just like clowns and shit on it. And it looks like horror-y. It's all black and white and creepy.
He's got a very good sense of design for like comics.
He's definitely got like his own flavor.
Yeah.
So that's I kind of cool. like that. So nice. That's what I got.
I was only allowed to get 3.
Oh, really?
Free comics, they were doing that thing. There's a lot of people there.
We only got 5, so my shop's better.
Sure. But I got King Shark as well. I got the Boys Herogasm, and then I got the Spider-Man Free Comic Book Day issue, which wasn't just Spider-Man. There was also a Chip Zdarsky story where he was working with Greg Smallwood, and it was Daredevil-based, so that was really cool. It was like really cool. I was like, what the fuck is this? Is this like a thing normally? But it was just for that one thing to promote Daredevil.
Did you hate that?
Yeah. But I read King Shark and it was pretty fun. Did you read it?
Yeah. I don't think I'll keep getting it. Are you?
I might just pick up the first issue just to see. I think that in general, it's definitely reminiscent of James Gunn, like Suicide Squad, King Shark.
I didn't really get that. He talks a lot more, and it's like a book, so I get that.
He talks in like fuller like sentences for sure, but he's just like a big like lovable guy that's trying to protect this human girl.
Yeah.
You know, and like his thing. But I really liked at the end that it had Orca in it.
Yeah, she's like the big bad.
It's like a girl Orca, because I think Orca is normally a dude.
I think Orca is always a girl.
Oh, I might be wrong about that then.
Yeah, it has like orca titties.
Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, another like aquatic based character. Like, I can't believe they'd never met before, or maybe wow. They have, but
yeah. What I really liked was the back matter of it. The second half of it was Suicide Squad get Joker.
Yeah. Alex Maleev is on there with Brian Azzarello.
Yeah. I read that real quick and I'm like, I'm into this. To wear Red Hood's in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I'm like, I fuck with this hard.
Great idea.
The number one already came out, so I just need to, I didn't get it, so I'm going to pick that up. And yeah. I think it's like 3 issues.
The whole series?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I could be wrong though. But yeah, I'm gonna pick that up.
Alex Maleev is a fucking great artist.
Oh yeah, he's a legend.
Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. Did you read The Boys?
No, did you?
I did. And I think it's just like a random issue in like the one of the omnibuses of The Boys.
Oh really?
Because I don't think it's like new, because like Starlight or Huey doesn't know who Starlight is
yet. Okay.
So I think it's just like a random thing in there. But basically the idea is that once like a year, all of the superheroes get together to go fight like a big alien threat out in space where there's no media coverage of them, right? But they're actually just going to a private island and they have a big orgy.
Oh, wow.
It's basically the idea. But Starlight is there and she's like, I don't know if I'm into this. So
yeah,
it was kind of horny, honestly.
Then I'll read it tonight.
Yeah. But I was like, this is definitely The Boys. But I assume they just did that to like, because the Boys series, so
yeah.
But and then I read the Spider-Man one, which is all right.
Did you have any kind of sales at your shop for Free Comic Book Day?
Mm-hmm.
Did you pick up anything because of that?
There were sales, and then there was a drawing which I won that I didn't know was happening.
Oh, cool!
So for everybody that purchased on Free Comic Book Day, so I picked up the first Kelly Thompson Black Widow trade for Sophia.
Oh, nice.
And then I picked up Bog Bodies by Declan Shelby and Gavin Fullerton.
Okay.
Which is like a one-off sort of trade. I think it's similar to like Pulp, where it's like its own contained story, but it wasn't like a full-size trade. Right. And I've been really wanting to read it. And then I also, there was a bunch of like creators at Samurai. And
really?
Ryan Cody was there, who is the colorist on Family Tree.
No shit.
Yeah. And he was there and he was just like, trying to sell like Family Tree trades or whatever, but he had his own inks there because he also does like line work for like other books. So wow. I bought like a Batman Beyond like ink thing from him for like $15.
Oh really? Is it dope?
Yeah, it's super cool.
Hey, did you post that?
I did.
Okay, I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, so you could see that on the @TradeWarriorsPod Twitter.
Twitter,
but it's pretty cool. So yeah, that's what it looks like there.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, very cool. And he was very nice. So he also liked that tweet, I think. So shout out Ryan Cody.
We love nice creators.
Yeah. And I was like, what's it like working with like Phil Hester? And he was like, oh man, I've known that guy for years. He's great. And I'm like, yeah, he does awesome stuff. Like I definitely started following him because of Family Tree, because I love the book. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, cool. Yeah. But yeah, so everybody that purchased something on Free Comic Book Day was entered into a drawing. I didn't know that was a thing that was going on, but I got an email yesterday after I'd gone to the comic book shop, might mm-hmm. I add, but they're like, you were entered into this series to win a Blu-ray DVD copy of Spiral. So come pick that up.
Oh, dude.
And I'm like, that's so random.
You should pick it up. If you don't want it, I'll take it.
No, I kind of do. I mean, I want it because I want it, you know?
Yeah, it's my thing.
Yeah, it's mine now.
You should watch it. It's pretty good.
So I was like, I literally responded, shit, yeah. And I was like, they asked me if I wanted to pick it up from Phoenix or Chandler, and I was like, please have it shipped over to Chandler, because I'm not trying to go to Phoenix on purpose.
That one's not that far, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like,
I've just never been to it.
Yeah, it's a little, the parking is shit, but it's not that far. I remember it was like on the way to my old work.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe like 15 minutes from here.
I figure I'll just pick it up next comic book day if it's there.
Yeah.
So yeah. Those are the Free Comic Book Days I picked up.
Cool, cool.
And then this week I picked up Moon Knight number 2, which I'm excited about. Superman and the Authority number 2, which I'm excited about. I picked up Legends of the Dark Knight number 4, and then Batcat number 6. So it was kind of a lighter week for me, honestly.
Are you going to... Didn't Supergirl come out this week?
It did. They didn't have it there, so I need to pick that up. And then also Jonah and the Impossible Monsters came out, number and I didn't 5. See that there on the shelf as well, so I need to pick that up.
Are you still following Black Hammer? Because I think Visions number 7 came out.
I did see that there, and I just didn't pick it up. I wasn't following.
Wow. Wow. If Jeff Lemire ever comes on the pod, I'll tell you that you dropped off.
All right, fine. Do it.
Are you going to keep picking up Gold and Blue or Blue and Gold?
Did that come out?
Number 2, yeah. I think so. I could be wrong.
I didn't see it there, but I would definitely still read number 2.
I think we're definitely different when it comes to shopping, because I always make like a list of the stuff that I know that comes out.
I should do that. I just kind of like walk in and be like, I read this. That looks interesting. And then, general, I kind of know what's coming out because I follow a lot of the people of stuff that I read.
Well, one, I like write down what I got for the podcast, mm-hmm. and then I just kind of go back to that list.
Gotcha.
When I picked it up. So just so I remember not to forget anything.
Yeah.
Because having like gaps is just like super annoying. Yeah. So we basically got the same thing. The sale for Free Comic Book Day, I got the second hardcover for I Hate Fairyland.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so now I have all of it.
That's cool.
So that'd be cool. And then I picked up the first 4 issues of Justice League Last Ride.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all issues.
Did you read it all?
No. I'm about to read issue 3.
I like looked it up, and I think there's 8 issues.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. What made you think it was 4?
Because I just saw somewhere that it was like the last issue.
Oh.
I think. Maybe I'm wrong, but if there's 8 issues, then great. So.
Yeah. Yeah, because 4 seemed like small, so I just kind of looked it up, but I think it's like 8, so we'll see.
Okay, sweet. I hope it is.
Yeah, definitely. And so I read King Shark. I read The Last Ronin, number 3, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, cool. I have that. Is it still like amazing?
Yeah, it kind of, this one doesn't really move the main story along very much, but it shows you more of what happened in the past.
Cool.
Which is cool. I care about more.
Do we know which turtle it is? It's Michelangelo. Okay.
Yeah, they said that in the first issue.
I wish they kind of kept it a secret.
Because
I had fun kind of guessing like that first issue.
I think Michelangelo is like kind of the most unlikely one.
I think it was the most obvious.
Obvious? I feel like the most obvious would be like Raphael. Like having like this.
I think that's too obvious and would make it more unlikely. Right. So I'm like, who's a turtle that will be really angry about everything? And I'd be like, well, the most dramatic one would be Michelangelo because he's so like quirky or whatever. So if he's like taking a Raphael position, then like, yeah. So I kind of wanted it to be like a Donatello or something, like the leader of the group.
No, Leonardo's a
leader. Leonardo, whatever. Those two don't matter, which I don't like. I don't care about them that much.
I think Michelangelo makes the story more compelling because you don't really see him as being like this revenge.
Yeah, that's true. It is true. Yeah.
So I like the decision. But yeah, if they didn't reveal it until like the last panel of like issue like 5 or whatever it is,
that'd be pretty cool too.
Yeah, I'd like that. Or if we just like never know, like I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, that'd be. Yeah.
But like he's like talking to like everybody, and so they have to like refer to him and that's shit true. Like that. So
yeah,
it makes sense.
It might be annoying to like keep it ominous for that long. Because they're like exercised issues too.
Yeah, they're pretty long.
But damn, Kevin Eastman still got it. He's fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. That shit's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I've read Chew number 6.
Nice.
Did you read that?
I read that when it came out, yeah.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Very fun. She's on the yacht. She killed a guy, yeah.
I didn't think she's going to kill the guy.
I thought that dude was going to be a part of the series going forward, and then she just killed him at the end.
I'm like, oh, they're going to kill the boyfriend, and he's a big swinger or whatever, and then she just shot him in the head. I'm like, is he gonna come back? And no, she threw him overboard.
I forgot how much I hated the shitty boyfriend in that book.
He like is drawn to look like
the worst,
up to no good. Like,
yeah,
he's gonna betray her like in a couple trades.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't trust this guy at all.
I don't,
but I guess we'll just roll with it.
I'm having a lot of fun with the series though.
Oh, it's so great. I like how they're just taking her like grandpa everywhere.
Yeah.
Like they have to, and he's like has a part in their heists and shit.
Yeah.
And then I read the last issue of Spider Shadow.
Nice. Have that on the top of the pile to read.
It's good stuff. I like how it ended. Chip Zdarsky back at it.
What a guy.
Killing it. Just really, really great What If story. What if that was an episode in this show?
I wish it would.
That'd be fucking cool.
I tweeted the... there's another thing I read. I picked up that issue of What If, where it had all those like random ones. Like,
you found it, or did you buy it online?
I bought just on Comixology that issue. And it was like a bunch of What Ifs of just like one panel, like off jokes or whatever.
Yeah, like what if the Fantastic Four were bananas?
Yeah. And that one like wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be. But like there are some other ones that I found and I just like screenshotted and I put on Twitter.
Is that the one? So is the What If Aunt May Was Ant-Man?
Yeah, that was like a one-panel joke. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I kind of would have read like a whole issue on that.
I want to say there's another What If because I think Aunt May has been a superhero at some point for like longer than a panel.
Oh, yeah.
But there was like...
maybe there's one where she's Spider-Woman or something.
Yeah, there was one where it was like, what if the Hulk's pants didn't grow with him? So like hit the panel is just him like like covering himself. There's... what if Black Bolt hosted a television talk show? So there was that one.
Wait, did you screenshot it?
Yeah.
Let me see.
And it's just the person there is like, aren't you going to ask me any questions? And he's just like sitting there waving at them. And what if Ghost Rider owned a fast food franchise? And then...
what the fuck was that?
He said, have it my way or else. And there's like a bunch of like gags like in the background.
It's like Patty's on Fire.
Yeah. Like in the background, you can buy sulfuric acid.
Nice.
Or bile or molten lava.
Ew.
And then what if all the superheroes who now live in New York City moved to Toledo, Ohio? And then it's just Spider-Man saying, so what do you want to do tonight, Cap? And then Cap's like, I don't know, Spidey, what do you want to do? And then it's just people, like all the Avengers just doing random shit in the background.
That's funny.
So I tweeted those and I was like, come on, Marvel, you need to take some risks and do the real hard-hitting what if stories.
Hell yeah, that's like so funny.
So
did you tag Marvel?
I did.
Nice.
And I hashtagged what if as well. So yeah, I did read that as well. But what'd you watch?
I finished Dave.
Nice. I watched a couple episodes of it.
Yeah.
I just finished the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar episode.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And
yeah. That one's not bad.
Yeah.
Did
you like it? Good season?
No.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I like seeing what happens, but like, I think if I ever met Lil Dicky, I would not like him as a person just based off of how he is in the show.
Yeah.
Which is how he is in real life. So I'm just like, but I do like seeing like, you know, other famous people and just kind of stories and how this all happened.
Yeah.
But I did like season one more than the second one.
This season feels definitely different than season one for sure.
Yeah. I wonder when he'll like run out of like content. Like he's just like caught up.
Yeah.
Where he's just like filming Dave.
Maybe he'll like
episode of Dave
actually release an album. And then like the next season will just be him after he released that album.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was always talking about like how he's going to release one and then the show came out. I'm like, yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not.
And then I'm all caught up on Rick and Morty. They have like a 2-week like hiatus or something before the finale.
Oh, interesting.
But the finale is like 2 episodes, but they're, I don't know. They're making a big deal about it.
Cool.
But this last episode was actually one that was continuity based to where like you had to kind of watch like the end of last season and then a couple other seasons in order to understand what's happening. It's not one of those like one-off episodes where you can just kind of pick it up.
Right.
Has one of your favorite characters, Nathan?
Evil Morty?
No.
Ah. Oh, Bird Person?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, you might like it.
Okay, cool. So, Titans came out, the first 3 episodes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Did you watch those?
I did.
You watched those before Doom Patrol?
Yes, because I'm caught up on those and me and Sophia watch Titans together.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. There's more time for a couple of shows than there is individual.
Yeah, typically. Because individual shows for me are just comics.
Right, I know. I have to like commit to trying to find time to watch like an individual show.
Yeah, but the first 3 episodes are like, they're pretty solid. Red Hood's in there, and it was really funny like knowing everything about Red Hood, basically, that I needed to know about Red Hood, but then watching like Sophia's reaction, because like in the first like scene of the... of this season, Jason Todd dies to Joker.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, that sucks. And then...
is there a Joker in that show?
There is, but we don't know what he looks like.
Oh, my God.
But, like, you see him there, but, like, from the back. Like, he does, like, the crowbar thing, and it looks really reminiscent of, like, the comics where he goes, like, super high up with the crowbar just to go, like, all the way down and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, the body acting or the whatever there was really good. But, so, yeah, he's dead for a little bit, and then Red Hood comes up, and then they're like saying things about like what Red Hood means, and it was like Joker's origin, and there was like a million and a half things saying that it was Jason Todd.
Uh-huh.
But she like wasn't putting it together, and then it was like and then it was like the reveal that Jason Todd is Red Hood, and she's like, what? she's like, no, it's not him. And I'm like, it is. And she's like, so did he not die? And I'm like, actually, I don't know how to answer that one, because in the comics it's really fucked up, so I don't know how they're gonna do it.
There's like three different origins.
The only one I know is the one where he comes back because of the crisis.
Where like
Superboy punches reality so fucking hard that Red Hood comes back somehow. Like, it's just, you don't think about it. That's
have you never read Under the Red Hood?
Yeah, that's that origin.
No.
Yeah, it is.
He like gets thrown into the Lazarus pit.
No.
I will bet you money. Yes,
you have the trade, and I've read that trade, and it's Superboy Prime punching reality or something.
No, he's put in the Lazarus pit and comes back.
We should look it up.
I'll bet you $100.
I'll bet you $10.
Okay, check it.
Okay.
Or like someone buys like food next episode.
Sure. Do you have it here?
Yeah.
Pick it up.
Let me see. I know exactly where it is.
Do you?
Yeah, I know the exact page number. I know how to flip to it and everything.
Well, I think we're both right on that.
So
one.
We've just concluded that we're both right somehow. Batman finds out as it's the Lazarus pit, but it happened because Superboy punched reality a bunch of times.
Yeah, he just said
which
that.
Is not a great explanation, but it's good enough, I guess.
I remember when
so maybe it will be Lazarus Pitt in the TV show, but I don't know if there's a
like,
Ra's al Ghul.
I mean, there is Superboy in that show, so I guess that could happen.
No,
but that seems like they don't have the budget for that.
Yeah,
so I think throwing him in a pool is probably the easiest thing.
Yeah, probably throw him in a magic pool and don't think about it.
Yeah, with like red water.
It's cool because they did something in like the third episode, which is the last one of the set that they released at first. He like killed one of the Titans.
Which one? Oh no, he killed the bird.
Hawk.
Hawk.
Yeah. There's like Hawk and Dove.
Yeah, then Hawk gets blown up.
Yeah. How do you know that?
I saw it spoiled for me.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Like the way that he rigged the bomb to him was like very corny. So like the show is like still like cheesy and corny, like, and I can't recommend anybody watch it because it is like that. But the things that they do with those characters are like pretty interesting.
Okay.
Like Commissioner Gordon is Barbara Gordon. Because Commissioner Gordon is like dead, and then Barbara Gordon is like head of GCPD.
Oh, cool.
And so like him and so
is Commissioner Gordon ever in it? Like,
no.
Okay.
Not that I remember, at least. Maybe he was like briefly, but like in this like
continuity,
Dick like had a thing with Barbara, and now they're like working together, and then there's like some thing there, but also Dick and Starfire have a thing together. So yeah, it's all like interesting.
We
like
love triangles.
Yeah, and it's like
he's
it's interesting
always like
the
player.
Way that they are doing things with the characters is what keeps me into it, and I think Sophia just like shitty TV. So
yeah, okay,
but no, we both like it. It's good stuff.
Cool. Yeah, have you ever seen Blue Mountain State?
Yeah.
I just cannot get Hawk like out of my head. Like when I see that, he's like, where's my pocket pussy?
Dude, and and Hawk in his costume, it's so funny because it looks like his head is a little too tight, and it looks like he can't breathe through his nose because his mouth is open all the fucking time. So he's like wearing a thing like this, and he's just like standing with like like standing with his mouth open the whole time, and it's so funny.
Yeah, dude, some of those like costumes and like prosthetics and stuff like that, people have to put like straws in their nose in order to breathe.
Yeah,
and shit like that.
And then I caught up on Better Call Saul on Netflix.
You're caught up
on what is on Netflix. So there's four seasons, and then season 5 is not on Netflix, but I bought it on Amazon Prime, so now I'm watching season 5.
Is it not on like Hulu or something?
Mm-mm.
Or AMC?
No. Well, it's on. It might be on AMC. But
you could probably watch it on like a laptop.
I didn't want to do that because it's a bro show that we eat while we're eating, or that we watch while we're eating.
So is season 5 done?
Yeah, they're filming season 6 right now.
And that's that hasn't come out at all.
No, because they're filming that, and that's when Bob Odenkirk like had a heart thing or whatever,
right,
and collapsed. Yeah.
How much was season 5?
Like 20 something bucks.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm
because those are long seasons, aren't they?
10 episodes are like an hour long. So I was like, hell yeah.
Pretty good value there.
Yeah. But yeah, that's everything
like $2
I watched.
$2 an hour. Cool. Yeah, same. But did you watch What If, Nathan?
I did
you
not.
You motherfucker.
I'm watching it with Sophia. We didn't have time. We didn't get the chance.
Oh, my God.
I know
this
it's good.
This is so good.
I know it's good.
This is way better than the first one. I this know. Is going to be hard to beat, Nathan.
I know. That's my bad.
If
I haven't watched
okay,
it.
Okay, no spoilers. But
sure.
The beginning credits are like kind of spoilers because it shows who's in it.
Okay. So and should so, I just close my eyes or like?
I would try or just try and ignore the names that pop up.
Okay.
Because I think that would help.
It's like... Is like Michael Rooker like a spoiler? Like, is he coming back?
No,
as
he's obviously going to be in that.
Okay. So there's like other spoilers on top of that.
Yeah. There's ones where I was like, wait, what the fuck? And then like.
And then that character showed up.
When it showed up, I think that would be like a better reveal than just seeing like the voice
okay.
actor in it.
Well, that's good to know for me heading into it because I'll probably watch it.
There's very soon. There's one thing that isn't a spoiler, but I saw on Twitter. Apparently, Dave Bautista was not asked to come back to voice Drax in this.
Okay.
And it's like a different voice actor. And I don't know. Someone asked him on Twitter, he's like, why weren't you in this? He's like, no one asked me. And then like James Gunn, like quote tweet, he's like, what? And I was like, that's so weird. They literally got everybody.
No, they
did. And everyone in it would probably be more expensive than him.
Well, like they had people that were also part of it that didn't end up being in like the final thing, I guess. Like I heard like a weird thing like that, but like, like Sebastian Stan came back and obviously Chadwick Boseman is in there. Is Michael Rooker the voice actor?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about then.
But yeah, that's weird. Kieran that... Gillen or whatever. If that, is that a name? Karen Gillen?
Karen Gillen?
Yeah.
Karen Gillen is the
Yo,
comic book writer.
She's in that and she is so sexy in that. Like her voice, she calls him Cha-Cha and it's so sexy.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why. Because his name's T'Challa. It's not even a good nickname.
No.
It's kind
of
good. But
it reminds me of the Cha-Cha slide, which I don't have fond memories of.
A little bit. But it was just like, I was already like kind of into Nebula.
Sure.
And like Gamora, of course.
Obviously, she's a baddie.
I've kind of like a weird kink that are just like women in...
that are different colors.
They're different colors and just like in the MCU. Like Valkyrie is really big for me too. But I also love like Tessa Thompson.
Yeah, she's great.
But yeah, just look out for that.
Okay, cool.
I'm really excited for you to watch it. I'm really pissed that you didn't watch it.
I know.
Dude.
We were going to watch it yesterday, but she had a thing that she was doing and I wasn't going to watch it without her. So my bad.
You guys live together. How do you not find 30 minutes?
Because she was working and then she went to this thing that went until midnight. And then it doesn't matter. Just know that I tried my best.
Okay. Don't let it happen again.
I won't.
Because we'll have Lynn on next episode.
And
I know
we'll
he's
talk
caught
about
up.
It. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That's fair enough.
So yeah, next week.
Next week, we're going to have a guest. His name is Lynn. He's a big old nerd.
He's our cousin's wife.
We're going to read Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Indeed. Volume 1, Donny Cates.
And I don't know who the artist is, I think.
There's only one Cosmic Ghost Rider, right?
Yeah, there's only one run. No, there might have been another one. I take that back, but...
Cosmic Ghost. Baby Thanos must die.
Yes.
Damn, this has a lot of reviews.
Yeah, it was like huge. There's like a pop of it now and like all sorts of crazy things.
That's probably expensive.
There's a Cosmic Ghost Rider Kills the Marvel Universe. So.
Oh, right. Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider. So there's like a second run.
Yeah.
We're doing that first one. No, Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys Marvel History.
That's what it was. Yeah.
That's epic.
Oh, it was Dylan Burnett who's the artist. So yeah, we're going to do that trade.
Okay. Cool.
Of Cosmic Ghost Rider next week. So Perfect. That's the show for this week.
All right, everybody.
Thank you all for listening, giving us a good old listen. If you want to reach out to us, you can email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com. Give us some opinions on if you like pulp or not in your orange juice.
Tell us.
Just please.
Tell us the origin of Red Hood.
Yeah. Tell us what your version of Red Hood's origin is.
Or if you can explain to us what the fuck happened. Because we don't understand.
Here's a little sweepstakes. The first person to tell us what the actual Red Hood origin is, I'll Venmo you $5.
Wow.
Because I'm curious, but I don't want to look it up because I don't care.
I'm going to look it up then.
No, you're disqualified.
Give us book recommendations.
Book recommendations.
It's hard to figure out some stuff.
Tell Daniel that liking pulp and orange juice is gross.
Hey, it's an opinion.
If you don't want to email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com, you can also tweet at us at tradewaiterspod. I will accept entries for the Red Hood thing that way.
Yep, and the pulp stuff. Nathan's more like Nate Thick on Twitter.
And Daniel's at Twitter as well.
Dan Nativadan.
Yes.
We be tweeting.
And that's the show. Have All a good right. week. Later.